We are joined right now by a relief pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. 1-0, 2.7 ERA, 1.2 whip, and averaging nearly a strikeout per inning this season. Saturday's win was his first since 2012. He was the 28th pick overall in 2006 out of North Carolina. The Rockies are in first in the NL West. They're 4-1. They're hosting San Diego at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. This really is a fascinating story. My guest is Daniel Bard. Daniel, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. In fact, I want to rephrase that. Given what's going on in the world right now, before we get into this season and your amazing story, like, what's it like for you? How are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time?
We're good, man. I got married with three little kids, so I kind of just had to be careful in that way and, pulled them out of school and all that stuff. So it's been a weird summer in a lot of ways, but everyone's good. It's close to me, so just trying to keep it that way.
All right, good to hear it. So people can fully understand your story and what you've accomplished this season. Take me back to when you were with the Red Sox. You were a first-round pick in 06. By 2010, you were absolutely dominating the American League with an ERA of 1.93 in nearly 75 innings. At that point, what was the game like for you?
Man, it was fun. It was, as far as just the pitching side, it was, I don't want to say easy. The game's never easy. But as far as just, your mind's in a good place, you're feeling, getting into that flow of the game every time you're out there, trusting your stuff, making adjustments easily. If you do have a rough outing or one where you give up a couple, you bounce back from them quickly because that's just the space that your head's in. And it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Doing it in Boston is as good as any place to do it.
All right, so your numbers were still good the next year, and then by 2012, things started to slip. You spent some time in the minor leagues with the Rangers, the Cards, the Mets. What was that period like?
It was tough, man. It was kind of a quick fall from kind of at the end of 11 into 12. Tried to start for a little while. That didn't work out. I had some other issues going on. But, yeah, I mean, you're battling control issues. You're battling, those mental demons that creep in when the struggles get really bad. And then, lose a couple jobs, lose a couple roster spots because of it. And then, what used to be just kind of a fun game that I was getting paid to play was now like kind of, in a way it feels like a life and death situation because you keep losing your job. I'm moving my family around. The steady paycheck is gone. You're hoping to get that next contract, and it doesn't always come.
Daniel Bard joining us. I mean, so you're using words like life and death, demons. I mean, you can sense how serious and how dark it's starting to get. Like, from the outside, it would seem like if you go from dominating the American League to battling just to stay in the league and struggling to find control, it would be a terrifying thing. Like, what kind of thoughts were you having at that point, and what was your mental approach during that stretch?
Yeah, it was kind of all over the place, man. I was pretty young at the time, 27. Had a few little struggles in the minor leagues. Nothing, I guess, on par with that, and nothing that was in the public eye like that was, by doing it and taking place a lot of it with the Boston media and how much people care there. So it was different. It was a lot for me at that time, and hadn't been through anything that tough before, so I don't think I handled it as well as I could have. But, it was a grind, man. And then, bouncing around from team to team, ultimately kind of retiring from the game in 2017. That's a funny word to use when you're not that old to say retire. But, I was ready to move on. I went to the coaching side for 2 years with no intention of ever playing again. Had my mind set toward that, just being the best, doing like mental skills stuff with the Diamondbacks and trying to be the best at that I could and see where it led me. And very too much to my surprise, it led me back to playing the game again. And that kind of gets back to where we are now.
Daniel Bard joining us. I definitely want to make that connection. Before I get there, I want to ask you one thing because this is really interesting. A lot of athletes tie their entire identities into what they do on the field or on the court, and their self-worth is connected to that. You've made the point that you knew baseball was important, but not the most important thing. How were you able to make that distinction, and then how significant was that to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I if you had asked me back then, you know, how big of a part of my life baseball was, I probably would have kind of minimized it. You know, my family's always been important. You know, my faith was important, and those things. And but once the it's easy to say until, you know, until the baseball aspect is actually taken away, that ability that's been such a big part of what you do and where your confidence comes from, where your a lot of the praise you receive comes from, when that's taken away, it really tests that. And, you know, for me, I think it really had to happen in order to get me to the point I'm at now. You know, it wasn't overnight. You know, it took years. A lot of perspective shifting, some of it on purpose, some of it, you know, out of necessity. And, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the biggest shift, I think, is just the way you view the game, seeing life, you know, for what it is, and that there's a lot bigger matters out there. There's more important things. Like, you know, for me, raising kids has really changed my perspective on a lot of things. And, you know, you got to be patient with kids, and I think it in a way it helps me be more patient with myself. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's journey is a little different, and I'm just trying to keep learning along the way.
So much good stuff in that. Daniel Barr joining us. So Mike Hazen, who was with the Red Sox, was hired as GM of the Diamondbacks, and he wants you to join the organization as a mental skills coach and a mentor. So I'm curious, when you were a mental skills coach, what kind of conversations were you having with the players?
You know, it was a little everything. You know, it was a pretty wide-ranging role in a lot of ways. Some topics would be very baseball-focused, you know, helping guys through the on-field struggles, similar things that I had been through. And then it would range to off-field stuff, you know, relationship advice or, you know, just different kinds of anxiety, maybe away from the field. And the serious stuff, mental health-type stuff, I would obviously refer them to someone who was more trained in that than I am. You know, but a lot of the stuff was just kind of like being a big brother to a lot of those minor league guys, and having been through a lot of the same stuff that they were going through, just lending an ear and you know, letting them know like life's going to go on or whatever it is, whatever they needed to hear is what I tried to be there for. And the cool thing about it was, you know, I came out of it with, man, I think some lifelong friendships with the other staff members, with the Diamondbacks and players as well. So it was a great 2 years. I wouldn't change anything about it. And, you know, I think that was one of the biggest reasons that led me back to playing, got me my love for the game back, my love for, you know, being in a clubhouse, feeling like a contributor again, all those things that people miss.
Yeah, I mean, like, right, if that were the story and you had worked your way into that position and you were making a difference and impacting guys and developing these relationships, that in and of itself would have been absolutely amazing, but that's not where that ended. Like, the story goes, you started to play catch with the guys as well. Like, what were those sessions like, and when did you notice that, like, man, this is coming back to me?
Yeah, it just kind of happened organically, man. You know, I told the guys I worked with that, you know, I wanted to be on the field. I didn't want to be, you know, stuck in an office and have people have to come find me to have meetings or whatever. And I want to be on the field because that's where I'm comfortable. That's where I, you know, I'm good at forming those relationships. So I was on the field as much as I could, and I'd be out there shagging batting practice, playing catch with pitchers before the game, things like that, that any kind of extra coach would do. And I was doing it to get to know them and help them in different ways. And I just had a couple of them, I think it was last year in 2019, you know, saying, hey, you still got it, dude. You need to play again. And I was like, I initially just completely laughed it off. And, you know, because that was so far from my mind, was ever playing again. And, you know, a couple more guys said it, and I didn't know it felt really good. Like, the throwing felt different than it had for those 5 years where I was struggling. And, I think it just kind of slowly crept in, and then the off season hit this past winter, and, you know, I continued to just play some catch back home to get my arm into like a really good position where I could actually get on a mound and test it out, and, you know, got myself in shape and continually kind of surpassed my own expectations and got to the point where I was like, I think I have to do this. Like, it wasn't an option anymore. It was just like, I'm being pulled back into this thing. And, you know, it's been awesome. It's been a cool experience, even if it ended tomorrow.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was not like this side hustle, like this thing you were doing on the side. Like, you, in your own words, right, you had to burn the boats. You had to leave your job as a coach. You had to go all in. Was that kind of a scary proposition? What was the mindset there?
Very much. You know, as good as I felt throwing, and I knew I could, you know, throw the baseball in the mid-90s again. I was, you know, throwing strikes in these bullpen sessions. But what I hadn't done, I hadn't faced hitters. I hadn't faced major league hitters. I hadn't thrown in front of, you know, a lot of eyes that matter, a lot of, you know, fans, anything like that. So I really hadn't tested it, except I was like, okay, I knew I couldn't throw on a mound. I couldn't get on a mound and throw strikes for 5 years consistently. And now I can. So maybe it'll be different in all those situations too. And, I had to, I didn't want to like feel it out, like with the Diamondbacks. I didn't want to put them in an awkward position where I, you know, had one foot in, one foot out. Hey, can I throw some bullpens, but kind of keep my job and just see how it goes? And I knew that's just an awkward position to put them in, and they deserve better than that. So, you know, made the decision to quit that job and basically inform them I'm quitting. And the reason I'm quitting is because I want to pitch again. Kind of was hoping it would be with the Diamondbacks at first, and there was, you know, just because of conflict of interest, that wasn't possible because of the role I'd been in, with the relationships I've been had with players, and which makes perfect sense. And so I had to do like a tryout, you know, 3 days after quitting my job. I was standing on a high school mound in Scottsdale, Arizona, with about 20 scouts that showed up, and letting it go as much as I could, and that fortunately threw the ball really well that day and had several offers. I mean, it was kind of a crazy day.
Daniel Bard, my guest, amazing story. So you end up signing a minor league deal with the Rockies. The season restarts. You make the Rockies major league roster. Saturday, you entered your first major league game since 2013. Ultimately, you go an inning and a third against the Rangers. You throw 20 of your 25 pitches for strikes. You hit 98 on the gun. You get your first win, Daniel, since 2012. Can you put into words what that experience was like?
Man, all I can say is it's happening. It happened faster than I thought it would have. You know, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have made the decision to pitch again if I didn't think all this was possible. But for it to happen as kind of as quickly as it has, you know, the quarantine, the time we were back home, was kind of the best thing that could have happened to me baseball wise. I was able to go home, throw to hitters back home like 10 or 12 times. In those weeks leading back up to our summer camp. And that really got me ready, not just to go and stand on a mound and pitch and, you know, hope to have a job, you know, in the minor league somewhere, but actually to go make a big league roster. So I didn't think it would all happen this fast. You know, I know it's felt good from the beginning, but, you know, it's definitely even surpassed my expectations. So, but now it's just like everything's back and ready to go compete and help this team win games.
What an amazing journey. What an amazing story. He's a relief pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. I laid out the stats. Saturday's win was his first since 2012. Colorado's in first in the West, and they're at home against San Diego. Daniel, great story. I was really looking forward to hearing you and talking to you. Thanks for sharing that story, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, man.
That was great. I really enjoyed that. That is an amazing story. I got a lot out of that. Daniel Bard.